This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. Well, I hope you've had a wonderful Thanksgiving. For a lot of people, not only is Thanksgiving a time to give thanks to God for His blessings on our lives, both great and small, but it's the beginning of the holiday season, encompassing Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. And I'm willing to go out on a limb and say that many of you have probably started your Christmas shopping in the past couple of days. Well, you can count on me as one of you. My family and I have had our turkey, did a little shopping, and are in the midst of putting up the Christmas tree and watching a few Christmas movies. And on this special Thanksgiving weekend edition of Washington Watch, we have a treat for you. Back in the summer of 2016, in the heart of the election season, then-candidate Donald Trump became the first presidential candidate to select a woman to head up his campaign. After his victory in November of that year, Kellyanne Conway became counselor to the president and continues in that role today. Well, Kellyanne came to Family Research Council's Values Voter Summit back in October, and we're going to share the interaction she had on the stage with FRC President Tony Perkins.
Well, Kellyanne, welcome back to the Values Voter Summit. You were actually at the very first Values Voter Summit.
2006?
Yes, right. Yes. So you are a familiar face here.
That was a bad year, actually, for Republicans because they lost their way.
It was, but fortunately they have found it once again with your help. And I want to talk about this for just a moment because you were the first female to successfully lead a presidential campaign. And I also know about your history. I won't go into how you learned all about that, about picking blueberries and being the blueberry queen. But the role of your faith, and I mean, I've known you for years. You've been a part of the pro. I mean, you're not. You come here as one of us. You don't come to talk to us. You're a part of us. Your faith, you're pro-life, you have been in the pro-family movement. How did that shape where you are today in terms of being a counselor to the President of the United States?
Tony, first of all, thank you very much for having me, for having the President earlier. And I did in part come today because I wanted to thank each and every one of you. This is the first Values Voter Summit since the election. You have your summits very close to the election each year. And I wanted to thank each of you, whether you held firm, you cast your ballot, you helped others get to the ballot box, if you knocked on a door or held your own in the argument with an in-law or a neighbor last year. However, if you gave a couple bucks to the campaign, however you contributed in your own way, I just came to say thank you on behalf of all of us and to urge you to keep on fighting. The president said very recently in a different forum, Tony, that he has a lot of alignment with the people in this room because he understands what it's like to be under siege. And I know you do as well. And we very much appreciate you standing firm and loving your country, freedom, democracy, and pushing those forward as well. Now, I actually don't know how I would be able to do any of this without my faith. And that is because it's a bedrock, because when you are raised in a faith-centric household, you realize from the very beginning that there's always something bigger and better than you. And that sort of that humility is a very important attribute to take to any position that has such great gravity and responsibility, as I feel ours do in the White House. I feel incredibly privileged and blessed to serve my country at this moment in this position. And if I approach it that way, I'm approaching it as a woman of faith and somebody who knows that for every time there is a season and that God places us in certain areas at certain points in our life. Now, the greatest professional privilege of my life is to work for the president, the vice president, and this great nation. The greatest privilege of my life by far is being mother to those four children. And that nothing compares to that for me. And I actually think having a full life is very important to me because it really cuts down on all the noise and the nonsense, and it puts things into perspective immediately and constantly. It's really great to be impervious to naysayers and critics. I turned my notifications off on Twitter in January, February. It changed life. I recommend everybody do it. Some people aren't capable of it because they spent all day looking at their notifications and liking people who said something nice about them or arguing with people who didn't. It's just I'm not in the White House to read about myself. I'm there to serve and there to work on significant issues and challenges of the day. And that's been very helpful. You can't do that without faith, though, because if you're so involved with yourself, then you'll get caught up in all of that, the praise and the criticism, frankly. So this is very balancing. Also, my faith informs my beliefs. Mm-hmm. And I've often said, Tony probably said here at Values Voter Summit over the years, that to attract people politically, you must first understand them culturally. Show me how somebody spends his or her weekend, I'll tell you how they're going to vote. And for me, my faith informs many of my beliefs. I am pro-life. I am very proudly pro-life. The President of the United States sent the Vice President and me to the March for Life back in January, and I was very proud to stand on that stage and look out at legion, thousands and thousands of people standing there in the cold because they believe in probably millions more around the country watching on TV or doing their part that weekend to profess their pro-life views. And why that's important is I've been working on pro-life messaging for decades, literally. And it took a Manhattan billionaire male who for part of his adult life was pro-choice for abortion rights to give the most impassioned defense of life I had ever heard from a presidential debate podium on October 19th last year. And that's really important. Because it also helps you to respect other people's viewpoints. But what I'm really struck in this audience, Tony, is all the applause the president got because we're reminded again that evangelical Christians at the ballot box in conversation in everyday lives, they're not monolithic, they're not single-issue voters, they're passionate about the pro-life, pro-family agenda. But listen to the applause the president got when he talked about health care, tax reform, the Iran deal, struggles around the world, combating terrorism. I think all of you are very happy that you have a president that's actually willing to call terrorists terrorists.
Yeah. Speaking of notifications, I've been waiting for that tweet to come in from the real Donald Trump about the Values Voter Summit. So I imagine that's going to be coming shortly, huh? No comment. You mentioned your greatest privilege is to be a mom of your four children. You have you're serving a president who understands the value and the importance of family. I've seen it in his interaction with his children, and I think it makes it helpful to you as a mom to be able to work for somebody like that.
Well, that's the great untold story I think about the White House as a workplace. Across corporate America, you sometimes get these handbooks, and page 586 will talk all about the family-friendly policies of that corporation. And then when you try to execute on them by taking a half a day off or maybe talking about a little vacation with your family, it becomes very difficult then in some places to execute on those family-friendly policies that are in writing. I work in a White House. I work in a workplace where working moms and certainly women are respected and elevated to the highest positions. This is a place where Donald Trump's just always been comfortable. He took a chance on women in New York real estate when no one else would. And it's very comfortable and natural for Donald Trump and now President Trump to surround himself to elevate and promote women to high positions and for him to always be respectful, very respectful of who we are personally, what our home life is like, whether we're married or not, have children or not, just, you know, what is it like? He's always interested in the personal story of everyone. And he's a great storyteller himself, so it's a wonderful way to engage with a boss. But he's somebody who, you saw yesterday, he elevated another woman to a cabinet post, and now we'll have two women, if she's confirmed, as the number one and number two at Department of Homeland Security. And the thing about Donald Trump that I've never heard him say, and he certainly never said to me, is I think this will help with the women, or I think this is great because you're a woman. He doesn't see it that way. He sees, and I think the identity politics that the other side is so wrapped up in is unfortunate and regrettable in many ways, because you've got to look at the person for who they are, very complex individuals, certainly in many different ways, demographically, attitudinally, et cetera, situationally. But if I didn't work for a president, any vice president, and their spouses, all four of whom I know well and honor and admire deeply, if I didn't work for them and I didn't know who they were and how family-centric they are, then I wouldn't be there. There'd be no reason to be there. And I appreciate that, because I hear a lot of people on their soapboxes and the high horse cavalry, I call them, the high horse cavalry, always talking about women's rights and women in the workplace and women empowerment. I'm in an environment where it's practiced regularly. I've never felt otherwise. And I think that there's a great juxtaposition going on right now. You see one of the major influencers in Hollywood and a major Democratic donor really ensnared in some pretty ugly stuff, allegedly. And the juxtaposition of that is that I at least am, you know, in a place where women are respected. Mm. And I appreciate that as a working mom. And I also want to tell each of you that to tell your daughters and granddaughters that we kept open the first female president of the United States job. So you have to think about that.
That was Kellyanne Conway speaking at this year's Values Voter Summit. You can find out more about Kellyanne when you visit tonyperkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues of the day. Again, that's tonyperkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Tony's conversation with Kellyanne Conway right after this.
What's more dangerous than fake news? Fake science. We should be able to rely on the unbiased facts of science for some of the biggest decisions of our lives. Our health, our education, the well-being of our families. However, the political left has manipulated so many of these facts to advance their agenda and shut down debate that we are living in a world informed by fake science. In his explosive new book, Fake Science, Exposing the Left's Skewed Statistics, Fuzzy Facts, and Dodgy Data, author Austin Roos punctures the so-called facts used by the left and reveals how poorly their version of data measures up to the actual science. In numerous cases where the science is really settled, such as when the facts of biology tell us that sex is determined by our chromosomes rather than our feelings, or that a new human life begins at conception, suddenly the left isn't so enthusiastic. Go to frc.org/speakers to hear Austin talk about his new book and the real truth about fake science. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. On today's program, we're highlighting a conversation that Family Research Council President Tony Perkins had with Kellyanne Conway at this year's Values Voter Summit. Kellyanne works in the Trump administration as counselor to the president. Here now is a continuation of their conversation.
I want to get personal for just a moment here, Kellyanne, as the senior, not too personal, but this is a senior counselor to the president. What's that like? And what's kind of at, let us see kind of a day in the life of Kellyanne.
Sure. Well, that you don't want to see. that begins really early in the morning, getting four kids off to new schools and their new life here in Washington. I'm there in the morning until they leave. So that's really terrific, because we were separated for the end of their school year last year and the beginning of my tenure here. And so that's wonderful. And talk about humbling yourself. when you can't find that sock or the uniform or the homework or the... It's really funny. And I know for all those out there whose big decisions in the morning are yoga or Pilates or the green juice or the fruit juice, I feel really blessed to have a different set of decisions in the morning. But so for me, when I get to the White House in the morning, I first of all say a prayer as I walk in, because every day I ask the Lord to bless everyone who works in that building, everyone who that building represents across the country, to pray for our safety and our security our understanding, wisdom. I know that, you know, wisdom is found through a multitude of counselors. I'm glad I'm one of them, literally. And then my day is mainly in policy meetings, because this president, this was a great example, Tony. This week, there were like six major policy initiatives: immigration, tax reform, the healthcare EO, Iran today, CSRs overnight. There's just always something happening in the Trump pace that is this administration. And so most of my day is spent in policy meetings. I am, as counselor of the president, I am there to support the press and comm shops. I'm not part of the press and comm shop, but we have very talented people there, obviously. But I'm there to support, and I spend about 3 or 5% of my time, I would say, engaging with media or on TV. But you can't be an effective communicator unless you understand the policy. You just can't throw yourself out there and somebody handing you talking points. You really have to understand the ins and outs of policy. And I frankly think that's what the country deserves to hear, which is, how is this going to help me? Or I'm worried about this policy. Tell me why it shouldn't be. And so that's very important. So that's everything from tax reform to healthcare to immigration, to some of the foreign policy meetings, infrastructure meetings, and then some of the issues that are directly in my portfolio that are a little bit more specific, like opioids. I spend probably 10% of my day now, which is a lot, frankly, on the opioid issue. Tasked with that in the West Wing. Very happy to have the President and the First Lady and all of our administration, really the entire cabinet, engaged on this issue. It is the scourge of our times, and it is it's just taking the lives. It is the epidemic next door. This is not somebody else's kid, somebody else's community, somebody else's coworker. It's all of us, and it's our responsibility as a nation to get on the winning side of this, because currently we're on the losing side of this. And then issues like military spouse employment, for example. So there you go. I'm just giving some examples out of the portfolio. So it's just a dizzying pace of meetings, and also because I spent decades as a pollster to try to bring the data in, whether it's public opinion data or economic data or cultural data, any kind of studies that are out there that are relevant to what any of my coworkers are working on. And then finally, I tend to travel frequently for the president, for the administration. I'm given my own schedule some days. Last Friday was in Roanoke, Virginia, for example, for National Manufacturing Day. Certainly, I traveled with the First Lady this week to West Virginia. So that I do find myself doing more and more speeches and more, just more touch Americans, which I love. And I had the great privilege of 2 decades plus, Tony, as a pollster. To my job was, how's it playing in Peoria? I went to go find out. So I visited 48 of the 50 states. I got numbers 49 and 50 this summer with my children and husband. But I had visited all these states to hear from people what they think and how they feel and to get their input. So I think that has equipped me tremendously to remember why we're there. It's for the country. And to understand why people may disagree. I do think a lot of these issues right now suffer from what I call information underload. We all suffer from information overload, but I think you're not being told everything you need to be told about these issues. So I would say go right onto whitehouse.gov and you'll get a lot of the information, or pay attention to what the president is saying and doing that day and not getting the filtered version of what he said or did. And just see, I think that's what's so great about 2017, where you can just get the information that you seek, and that is happening. Sometimes people they're not getting the information. I think not connecting our veterans with all the great things that have happened for them, for example, not telling Americans the truth about how they'll benefit from meaningful tax cuts and what it truly would mean to have a more competitive environment to repatriate these trillions of dollars that are sitting offshore legally, to what it means to have an expanded child care and elder care tax credit, how it impacts you to have employers and job creators go from 35% to 20% for their tax. But you say, well, I'm an employee, not an employer. It affects you mightily, because that money gets reinvested in its employees, in the inventory, in the infrastructure that surrounds that company. Why are you trying to repeal and replace Obamacare? Hasn't it helped Americans? It has helped many Americans, but it's hurt many more. And we've had those Obamacare victims into the White House. They are real people. They have names. I've seen them in press accounts with quotes around them, Obamacare victims in quotes. They're real people. They've come to the White House. They told us their stories. And we're there to help them. And if you feel like you could be one tiny molecule in helping people, That's a privilege beyond anything I ever thought growing up, being raised by a single mom, very modestly but very faithfully. And I think that's the true American dream, when that's true power, when you're in a position to actually help other people. And you take that position, you refuse to look the other way. And you refuse to give up or give in. And that's, I think, why we're there. I know it's why the president's there. I know it's why he and his family and the vice president and his family have agreed to serve at this time, at this level.
That was Kellyanne Conway speaking at this year's Values Voter Summit. You can find out more about Kellyanne when you visit tonyperkins.com. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, helping you stay informed on the issues that matter to you. You can donate when you visit tonyperkins.com. We'll be back with more from Kellyanne Conway after this brief timeout.
The family is at the heart of our economy. It is the greatest generator of knowledge, attitudes, skills, and habits of the individual. The vast majority of small businesses begin as family businesses, which then go on to become the even bigger generators of wealth. Family Research Council believes that federal policymakers should take action to help moms and dads better provide for their children through tax reform. To learn more about our family-friendly tax proposals, visit frc.org/taxes.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. We've been featuring a conversation with Kellyanne Conway, counselor to President Trump, which occurred at this year's Values Voter Summit in October. Here now is Tony Perkins as he continues the conversation.
People across America who care deeply about this country, how can they help the president advance the agenda, which were the promises made, and advance this message that the president and the White House that you just articulated are carrying out across the country? How can they help?
First of all, I have to say you are helping. And without having ambassadors for that message all across the country, we won't succeed the way we can, because it's incredibly important that people feel like they're part of this. I think it's something that Mr. Trump was able to do in his campaign, really his idea, his voice, his choice, not to erect a traditional conventional political campaign, but to build a movement. And people felt like they were part of it. That's a campaign. That's over. This is much more important, because this is our nation. And what you can do is to have a 7-minute version for anybody who's willing to listen. Why I support the president is X, or the best things I think he's done for us so far are X, Y, and Z, or why it's important we get tax cuts through now, and explain to them why you feel that way, why I think he's the most faith-centric, pro-life president in our lifetimes. You come up with the answer in your own voice. And the reason it's important that it's your voice is because you're much more effective than any of us can be, for the following reasons. People see you in their churches, in their communities, in their places of work, in their places of worship, and they will say, you know what, I like you and you're like me. Those two attributes are so incredibly important, to have that identity with people, that community identity with people. Hey, I like you, you're affable, you're accessible, I've seen you around, our kids go to the same school, we go to the same church or the same community center, we live in the same neighborhood. I like you, and more importantly, the real connective tissue, you're like me. And that's much more accessible and much more relatable and much more authentic than getting the message, in any other number of ways. The other thing is, I'm going to end by telling a story, Tony. You didn't expect me to tell this story, but this is a great example of reaching out to us where you think we can be of assistance, where there's a great opportunity for someone in the administration or the president or vice president to come and to speak. Last August 17th, it was announced that the president had expanded his campaign team. So the next day, I was on for my first phone call as campaign manager, as the president went to the airport and he was giving his regret speech that night in North Carolina. And I said, tomorrow, Mr. Trump, Governor Pence has agreed to clear his schedule, and he's going to go down to Baton Rouge because they were suffering from severe flooding. And I said, and we were all looking at the images on the TV with coffins floating down the river and people really in great need, our brothers and sisters in need, as we've seen all too recently, all too often this year. And I said, the governor is going to go down, and we're going to connect him with some folks on the ground and some first responders. Tony Perkins is involved in his church, and I ran through the list with him, and he said, that sounds great. Could I go too? And I said, oh gosh, it's my first day on the job. What is the answer? I guess the answer is always yes, of course you can go. And then we figure out how to make it happen. I see that there's a fundraiser in Minnesota. There's a speech in this place. And that was such a telling moment to me. And that is such the essence of this president, that he comes up with these ideas. And he says he intuitively knows where he should be to help. And he went down. The two of them went down to Baton Rouge, as you know. I think they wrote a check to your church. Yeah. But that they learned. They listened and they learned and they helped. And I remember the sitting president was on his vacation, which he's entitled to have, but never went down. The other candidate never went down. It's called it something like a political stunt or a photo op, which is not the way the people in Baton Rouge felt about it. And that's what I want to tell you. It's a great story. It's a great, I think, great answer. It's a great story, but it's, I hope, apt answer to your question of what can you do. You can also bring to our attention, you know, great stories of triumph and recovery and hardiness, the grit and determination of America, and then point out to us people in need. Because those communities, we are the federal government, we are the presidency, great. But we believe that those closest to the people in need are those best equipped to know how we can best help, and we'd like to hear that.
Kellyanne Conway, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
If you want to find out more about Kellyanne Conway or the Values Voter Summit, just head on over to tonyperkins.com and follow the links. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to tonyperkins.com and clicking on the donate button. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.